Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we are full speed into 2019 and talking to entrepreneurs every day. And my guest host is Evan Macedo of Sapers & Wallach and also our host. Thank you for both.
Yes, thank you, Jeffrey. Evan Macedo here from Sapers & Wallach. It is a pleasure to have you on our show today, and it's also a pleasure to host the show from the Sapers & Wallach office.
Right. I think Chris likes it the best here because you saw that triple-decker sandwich he made, right?
Oh, yes. Always going to have a good breakfast here for the employees.
Our next guest, Fatima Sumar from Oxfam America. Welcome.
Hi, Jeffrey. Hi, Evan. It's so great to be here this morning.
You are our first guest from Oxfam ever. First, maybe you want to tell us about Oxfam a little bit, and then also about what you mentioned offline, the women's initiatives that you've been working on.
Great. So Oxfam is a global organization working to fight the injustice of poverty. We work in more than 90 countries, and we focus on three things. We focus on helping people build back better futures. We focus on holding the powerful accountable, and we focus on saving lives in disaster. And so those are our three main areas in over 90 countries. And we're really looking at how do we tackle the root causes and the injustice of poverty. And that shows up in so many ways. But I'm so thrilled to be on your show here this morning to talk about how it affects women in particular. We know that for so many women around the world, they struggle just every single day for the dignity of their rights. And we know women in particular really suffer from how they can connect to global opportunities, local opportunities to feed their families, to take care of their communities. Women's economic empowerment is one of the avenues we know that really helps tackle and fight the root causes of poverty that affect so many women all around the world. Let me give you a couple of examples of where this shows up. So in most places in rural communities, most of the rural poor, about 82% of them live on less than $1.25 a day. Right? And the majority of these populations, they focus on agriculture. So they're producing the very food that not only feeds them and their families and their villages, but the food that frankly reaches us here in Boston and all throughout the United States. And many of these women in particular, even though women are the majority of food producers throughout the world, they're the ones with the least economic opportunity. So they are the ones with the most limited access, or no access in many cases, to land, to credit, and to markets to sell their goods. So Jeffrey, imagine this. Imagine you want to start a business. And you have got a great idea. You want to produce a certain crop or produce a certain commodity, but you can't get a loan from a bank. And most women in rural communities have no access to any type of microfinance or microcredit or any other type of commercial lending system, right? So these are the very women that, even though they are in charge of running their families, running their communities, producing the very food that all of us benefit from, they don't have access to the very ingredients that any one of us would need to be a successful entrepreneur. So we have a couple of different programs that we invest in that have had tremendous success and results.
I mean, it's very sad listening to you. It's really quite tragic.
Yeah. So one of our signature programs at Oxfam is called Savings for Change. Mm-hmm. We launched Savings for Change back in 2005. Today, we've reached over 700,000 women, particularly in countries like Mali, in Cambodia, in El Salvador, Guatemala, and Senegal. And Savings for Change is a really simple concept, right? So you go out to a village in Mali, for example, and in many of these communities, it's not just women, but it's mostly women. They will band together. And instead of microfinance, where you're lending through a financial institution, here we bring women together, and women lend to each other. So they pool their savings together, and they set the terms of the deal amongst how women can borrow from each other and pay them back. And by pooling their savings together, by coming together and saying, I want to invest in my own small business, or I want to invest in this project in the community, and I will borrow from this group of women that I trust, that I'm a part of, and I will repay, right? These women are able to start their own businesses. They're able to start their own initiatives. They're able to get credit and the loans that they need to be successful. And they get something very special as a result of all of that. Not only are they able to run successful programs and initiatives like we've seen throughout these countries where we're working, They also get the dignity, and they get they feel empowered.
Get a peer group as well.
They feel empowered to actually make their own decisions, right? That they actually have a voice that matters, that they have ideas that are actually, they generate income for their families and for their communities. And you see an enormous power coming from this when you actually empower women to take the lead and give them the very tools that they need. What we've seen at Oxfam is fascinating because, you know, oftentimes when we think about poverty and you think about, well, how do I help? What can I do here to make a difference? And you think about, well, it's about money. It's about donating. And that's true. That's a really important part of what of our toolkit. But that's not as all. That's not all that it's about, right? It's also about changing the very gender and social norms. It's about changing the policies, the practices, the laws that also prevent women from having access to these types of institutions, to credit, to land, the same way men have access to. And so we work on that as well. And that's really another powerful way that we help change the dialogue at the local level, at the village level, at the community, and at the national level, and here in the United States with our lawmakers as well.
You know, as I said, it's a sad story because it's just unbelievable repression and discrimination. But do you find, as you brought these women together, that the traditional institutions are still trying to work against them to keep them from developing? Because they are sort of going against the norm in those villages and towns that they're in.
Yeah. So, Jeffrey, let me flip your question around, because what we've seen is, you have some of the hardest circumstances in the world, right? As you've seen, some of the hardest norms to change, whether it's gender norms, cultural norms, legal and legislative norms. But when you actually highlight what these women can do and what they do every single day and celebrate that, you can help change that entire piece around. And so we've seen that with other programs we have, like Female Food Heroes. So we launched this program in Tanzania, Female Food Heroes, where it's a reality
TV. Very poor country.
We launched a reality TV show where we actually go out and we find female food producers in Tanzania, farmers who every single day are making a difference and fighting against the odds. And we brought them on a national TV show that's one of the most popular shows in Tanzania. And we celebrate their achievements. So we give them challenges that they would face, like any contestant would face, around food and farming challenges. There is an award that these women get to celebrate what they do. And they become national heroes. And in fact, we've brought them to Brussels. We brought them throughout Europe to meet with policymakers and to meet with other leaders to show them what women can do when you invest in them and when you give them resources, when you give them dignity, and when you give them access. And so every day there are challenges that women are facing to be entrepreneurs, to really be able to connect
to have their own
communities. But we also celebrate that they can succeed when we all band together to do that, and our programs are really designed around that entire site.
So is New England for you a place for fundraising? Is that what the hub here is all about?
So Oxfam America is based in Boston, Massachusetts. We're right by North Station. And we work all across the country, and we work with tremendous volunteers and supporters all across the country. And we don't take any U.S. government financing. And we do that because we want to be independent, and we do that because we want to have a voice here on U.S. government policies as well to tackle the injustice of poverty. So we rely on contributions and support from everyday individuals. Every dollar makes a difference, and we work. Over half of our contributions come from just regular donors, individual donors. And it's amazing what we can do when people who really want to care and show up and say, my dollar makes a difference, and it reaches people overseas in some of the toughest conditions in the world.
Wow.
That's fantastic. And I wanted to ask you, you know, it's a phenomenal company that you guys are running and a phenomenal initiative you're doing all around the world. But why don't you tell us what attracted you to Oxfam, mm-hmm. and then maybe what is your role in Oxfam, and what are you doing for new initiatives for 2019?
Sure. So I joined Oxfam about a year ago as their new Vice President of Global Programs here at Oxfam America. And my career actually came from a very different background. I came from a career in the U.S. government, where I was a senior diplomat and development official. And I wanted to come to an organization like Oxfam after I transitioned out of the U.S. government, because I wanted to be part of not just an organization, but of a movement that is actually fighting the root causes of poverty. So not just looking at kind of our Band-Aid solutions, but really understanding, well, what drives the injustice of poverty? What are the policies? What are the practices? What are the cultural and social norms that if we don't really tackle together, all of the aid in the world will have a limited amount of impact? And organizations like for Oxfam, for me, were a shining example of that. And so I was really excited to come join the team here.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you.
Well, if somebody wants to find you at Oxfam America or Oxfam America, how would they do that?
Find me personally.
Connect with you.
So at Oxfam, you know, definitely visit our website. We have a lot of great stories of the kind of work we're doing, ways to connect, ways to volunteer. We have thousands of supporters and volunteers all across the country that help us raise awareness, public education, raise funds, and really get the word out. Sign petitions that we have online where you can help tell your local congressmen and women about the changes that you want to see right here in the United States, right here in your own state capital and your own city or town. So come visit us online, see us on Twitter at our handle at Oxfam America, find us on social media, or give us a call. And we're right here in North Station, so come visit our offices, and we're local right here in Boston, and we'd love to see you guys.
Great. Evan, thank you for arranging this interview. That was just great.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's been a fantastic time having our guests on the show and being your wonderful co-host.
Well, and you know, I got to tell you, listening to you, it's so emotional. It's just such a tragic issue, and I'm glad you're trying to tackle it. Congratulations. We hope you come back on the show again and
talk
to us some more.
I really appreciate it.
And remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're going to take a break. Thank you again to Sapers and Wallach. We'll be right back after these messages.